It's not actually true about anything, but it's definitely not true about happiness itself. Like, there's some limited commodity of happiness that's being dished out, right? And if they get two cups, then we get a cup less or something, right? Also, it's based on the delusion of sense of the world that's, again, like our fixated self-view. We're like, we're in the center of it, and everyone else's life is in reference to us, and everything that happens to everyone else is in reference to us, and we compare ourselves to others all the time, which also is a completely losing battle, because you can always find someone who has more than you and less than you, you know. And you can always find someone who is on every different front, you know, richer than you and poorer than you, and better looking than you and worse looking than you, and healthier than you and sicker than you, right? And taller than you and shorter than you, right? And like on and on, you know, you could waste like endless amounts of time, and probably we do, you know, lining up these grids, right? And we sort of have, you know, we have a habit of doing that with certain categories of people. So maybe like with coworkers or your siblings or people we went to school with or our neighbors or, you know. And it really is like a disease that, it's a disease that really impacts our own ability to be happy, you know. And it goes to, you know, it's really like ridiculous extents. And you can see it at all different levels and classes of society, you know. It's like people who have like hundreds of millions of dollars want to be billionaires and feel poor. And, you know, people who are billionaires want to be multi-billionaires. And, you know, it's like a crazy-making, endless game of comparison of like who's better, who's worse, and so on. Right? So this practice of appreciative joy is learning to be happy at the happiness of someone else. So actually, when you do that, you increase your own chances of being happy. And famously, the Dalai Lama said, if you learn how to practice this appreciative joy, you increase your own chances of being happy by 7 billion. Actually, I think at the time he said it was like 6 billion, but now it's actually 7 billion, you know. So you can be happy not just when good things happen to you, but when good things happen to anyone, you know. And you don't even have to be happy at the thing that happened to that other person, you know. Like, you know, say they got a part in a play, and they're really happy about that. And you would hate to be in a play. You would find that terrifying and torturous and embarrassing. But they're happy to be in the play, so you're happy for them, right? So you don't even have to want the thing that they got at all. So how do we do this? How can we relate to this? So the easiest is with sometimes with people who we're very close to, you know, who it's very easy for us to naturally be happy for them. Although sometimes the people that we're very close to are the ones that we place in that comparison grid. So there's sort of a happiness, but sort of very quickly a self-referential like step that happens there. So it could be something that's a good friend that if they told you something good happened, you would naturally be like, oh, I'm so glad for you, you know, because you kind of accompany them in your life, right? It also could be someone who you don't know. And there are certain beings that it seems like easy to be happy at their happiness. So example is like dogs, you know, that wag their tail. Like, it's very obvious when they're happy. And you could just be happy because they're happy. And they're happy for things that are like definitely not going to make you excited, right? Like finding an old bagel on the ground or something, you know? They're like thrilled. It's like made their day, you know? And so it's like, okay, good, you're happy. Like, you can be happy at their happiness. Like, their joy is so visible, right? Or little kids are quite happy about, you know, very simple things often, like stamping in a puddle, you know, getting to jump in a puddle is like so excellent, so much fun, like so such a fortunate day that I found a puddle today, you know. So it's very sweet. So if we can actually connect with just being happy at their happiness, regardless of whether we are happy about puddles or old bagels or something, you know, then it's quite easy. But then you can start to do it just in general, too. Like, if you see people walking by and they seem to be smiling and laughing, you could be happy at their happiness in each other's company. You know, you don't know what they're talking about, or it's not like you need to be friends with them, but just like, oh, look, people are enjoying that. You know, or being happy at seeing someone enjoying nature, you know, or sunning themselves or something like that. Or the joy people take in a particular skill or activity, like in singing or playing sports or art or something like that. You know, you can really appreciate that. sometimes we can do this well with people who are related to us, but not so closely related to us, right? And seeing them do something that like brings them joy, you know, it's sort of like they're in their element. You know, they're like doing what seems completely natural to them. It seems like they were born to do this thing. And it's really nice to see that, so we can take joy in that, you know, whatever that is that you see them doing. Like sometimes your kids or nephews, nieces, you know. So it's actually taking the time to tune into this, you know, to tune into the happiness of others and to cultivate this unusual state of being happy at the happiness of others. And it's such a powerful thing to even know that this is possible. You know, it really can be transformative. Particularly because, you know, what's the other responses can be those of like jealousy and comparison and feeling like a sense of lack or ignoring them or becoming competitive, right? So all of those are in the realm of like unwholesome things that if we don't notice that, those unwholesome states can be cultivated. Also, I think many times people might notice that and know, like, this is not a place I want to hang out in competitiveness or jealousy, but we really don't know what the alternative is, you know? Like, we don't know this appreciative joy as, like, a possible go-to place at all, you know? It's not really taught to us as, like, a thing. And I would say of the different Brahmaviharas, even just in talking to people kind of colloquially, it's been very interesting as a, you know, Dharma practitioner and teacher that this is the one that seems the most revolutionary to people, you know? Like, people have heard of compassion, you know, love, of course, generally speaking, but this one is, like, completely new to most Western people, like, this idea that you could be happy at someone else's happiness. And, like, wow, that is such a mind-blowing possibility to do. Then if you cultivate that, it really can change your life, like, to make help make you much happier. So there's a near enemy of it. So like with compassion, the near enemy is pity that feels like it, but it's not that. And it also is harder to describe the near enemies of this one, too, in some ways. So usually the near enemies are the one that's like kind of like that state, but with a sense of separation. So in this case, it would be like when there's happiness, it's someone else's happiness, for example, but there's also like something in it for you a little bit. So there's like some attachment thing. So it's like, my brother won the lottery, but maybe he'll give me some money or something, you know, some slight like halo effect that could possibly, so there's some little self-centeredness in on that, right? Or another one is like when there's a development of joy, happiness, but it becomes disconnected. So it becomes like an over-exuberance where we're not anymore connected to what's happening or the people around us. You can see this sometimes, I guess I'm going back to sports games, where like some game and people, something happens, like a goal is scored, and people start cheering, but they're like throwing their drinks in the air on each other, and like, you know, putting their hands like this, but punching each other, and you know, so it's like being disconnected from actually the other people around you and the impact of that celebration, you know, in some way. So this is a sense of happiness and joy, but it's also with a sense of connection and awareness too. You know, so it's grounded in interconnection. You know, it comes from that interconnection. So when it gets into that like over exuberance part, in which you are completely separated out and it becomes sort of a self-centered pleasantness, you know, then you're off track with it. So that's sort of a near enemy kind of thing. So in order to cultivate this, we again start with what's easy. So it could be like a generic image of someone who's happy. So it could be like a kid or a dog or something like that. Or it could be for you that there's someone who you know in your circles who has had something good happen to them, that it is very natural for you to feel happy for them. And so you could spend a little moment thinking about this. We'll do this as a formal practice for a little bit too.
You know, I could relate to the things that she liked to do, and so I sort of started focusing on the content, and it was like taking a step back and saying, oh, can I just focus on the feeling of happiness, you know, so that was interesting, just trying to kind of just feel the feeling versus, oh, okay, yeah, I like that too.
Right, yeah. And if it naturally happens that you're connecting with the content, it's also okay, as long as, like, also there's the sense of real connection with that. Yeah. Anyone else want to share? How was this? Yeah.
It was very nice. I did paired up with someone that I know, but I was actually very curious what they would say, and so it was just a really really nice exchange, and it felt really good. Yeah. Mm.
And you can also reflect on what it was like as the speaker. So both to get a chance to talk about what made you happy, and also what was it like to get listened to by someone who was trying to listen from the heart. So how was it to be the speaker for you? Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if we take this on as a practice, you can also do this as a listener more. So, you know, say your friend says, I just moved to this new apartment and I'm really excited. So then you can actually ask them, like, oh, that's great. Like, what do you like about it? And then as they're telling you, allow yourself to feel in the heart, like, be happy at their happiness, you know. And it's nice for people when people are actually interested in what they're saying, you know, right? Like, or if they're like, oh, I just, you know, I'm in a new relationship, and then like, oh, that's great. Like, tell me about them. Like, what do you like about them? Or what's good about it, you know? And then you can just connect with being happy for them and really listening to them, like fully listening to them and being happy for their happiness. So it's a nice skill to have, you know, the human skill to have. And it makes you happy too. It's like, oh, look, my friend is happy at this. Or even the stranger is happy about that. That's what's quite interesting. Like, those of you who did it with someone you didn't know, is like, you find, like, you can be quite happy for someone else's happiness, even though you don't know them, you might never meet them again, you're probably not going to do that thing with them, right? But it doesn't matter. It's just possible to resonate, you know, in this way, right? Like, reflectively resonate. Yeah, Chris?
Yes, we had a very nice group, the two of us. But it was fun to see that, you know, we can be joyful even when things aren't pleasant. Mm. And joyful with compassion, joyful with all these other aspects of the heart, just really connecting with what's there. And just kind of a little buoyancy in the heart. So that was nice. And another thing is that we talked about how much we both like, you know, really seeing happiness in other people. Mm. And I've taken that on as a practice as well. And it's so interesting how there's so much more happiness available in life. Mm-hmm. And there's so many more things, silly things like, you know, the dog being excited about that. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
You know? Or, you know, like a coworker going to take care of her mom. I'm just so happy about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's something that, it's so simple, you know, it's kind of always available.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it doesn't have to be like some huge, huge thing, too. It's very beautiful. It's like a secret access to happiness, you know. Like, otherwise people think like, well, I need to make this much money and then I will be happy, or I need to get this thing, and then, you know, it's like, no, look at the dog wagging his tail. It's like, that was a lot cheaper than, you know, and easier. Happened faster before you got your PhD, you know, right? I mean, actually, you know, in this recipe that we have, like, it's, you know, the Buddha says all beings wish to be happy. You know, that's true for all of us. Like, everyone wishes to be happy, but we don't understand the way to get there, you know? So then we come up with all these different, like, convoluted strategies and figure things out and, you know, really complicate it way more than it needs to be. So it's kind of this amazing thing to discover ways in which it can be simpler than we think it is, or... also that there can be some deep contentment even from connecting with suffering, you know, like you're saying. Like, you know, this exercise we did was listening from the heart with joy, but actually equally satisfying in some way can be listening from the heart with compassion. You know, so if your friend actually says, like, oh, this really hard thing happened to me, you know, if you feel up to it, you could be like, tell me, like, what happened? And then if you actually can really listen to them with a sense of compassion and connection, it's actually also such a beautiful, deep thing to have with someone else, right? And it can be a privilege to be able to be with someone in that space of difficulty, too. You know, it's like both can be beautiful in that. And both require just attention, you know. They don't require fancy equipment or, you know, a lot of cash or, you know, anything. It's just like, oh, okay. Like, it's accessible to us. You know, the training of attention, though, is something that's required, but all of us can do that. All of us can train in that. And also, you know, according to this kind of mandala we have, sometimes we think like, well, I have primary relationships in which I do that, so I will practice that in that, but everyone else I can't do that with. But it's actually not true, you know, as you've just learned here. Like, you could talk to someone you've never met, and it's actually the quality of attention and connection in that moment that facilitates that ability. And it doesn't even have to be that you've known them a long time or that you have an ongoing relationship with them or anything like that, you know. So it's a beautiful practice to know that is there. And, you know, like with the metta, that you could do this anywhere. So even you're sitting somewhere, you know, at a bus stop, in shopping center, in a mall somewhere, or at the airport. And, you know, you could just notice, you could do the metta practice, or you can just notice as people walking by, people who are happy, and just allow yourself to connect to that sense of happiness there, you know, in some place. Like, it's a nice activity to do, you know. And then also you can notice when your heart shuts down with it, too. You know, that's part of the practice, is noticing when it's not there. And it becomes more apparent as we develop facility with this, when it's not there, right? Like when the opposite comes, or when it's difficult, too. But that also is good learning, because then we actually feel the pain of that much more poignantly. So then understanding and connecting with that dukkha is part of the development of wisdom, of understanding, like, jealousy is not actually a helpful strategy for happiness, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds obvious when I say it like that, but the unenlightened mind does not know that. You know, the unenlightened mind thinks is a good idea, like to throw up jealousy in response to someone else's happiness. Right? So see viscerally, know that really viscerally, like, why that's actually unwise, you know, why that's delusion, why that's not a good strategy, you know. And then as you know that more and more, you can, you know, you really like feel the burn of that pain, you know it then for yourself more and more deeply. Not because you read it in a book or because some teacher said it, but because, like, it's actually true, you know, and you know that to be true as much as, like, sticking your hand in water, you know, it's wet and, you know, it's cold or whatever, you know. So then no one can take that from you. You understand that, and then the system will tend to align more, you know, in that direction, too. So it just takes some practice, but this practice can be fun, like I said, you know, like, check out dogs wagging their tails and children jumping in puddles, you know. This can be... that can be part of your spiritual practice, actually, you know, to notice that. And it's great reminders, too. Like, I remember actually going with some relatives to Muir Woods in San Francisco. You know, it took a long time to drive there, and they're actually beautiful, large trees. And there were some small children who didn't care about that, who did see a puddle and spent all the time jumping in the puddle, you know. Or there's a certain age of kids, when whatever you give them, however expensive the gift, they like the box better, you know? Like, they unpack the thing, and then they're so focused on the box, or the wrapping paper or something, or toilet paper holder, or, you know, something like that. Like, so it's interesting just to notice that and just be able to connect very simply. And it upends some of our ideas about what we need to be happy to. You know? So being able to connect, like, very simply to joy is a very, very powerful thing. You know, if you learn that and nothing else today, like, that will be time well spent, right? Successful workshop, right? So I'll give you a chance to go out and practice this in motion, too. And in motion, you can do this a variety of ways. So there is the more disciplined, sort of technical way that I said, like, you know, holding the image. So like we did with compassion, with metta, to hold the image of someone who is happy and then sending this wishes to them, right? May your happiness increase. May you always be happy, right? If you want now, you could also choose to do a more spacious walk here And there's other people in workshops here, so hopefully they'll also be wandering around. This will facilitate this happening, right? So if you want, just go out and walk, but tune into the heart and try to stay open to different aspects of happiness that you see around, like joy, right? So tune into joy that you feel when you are seeing anything, flowers or people, whatever. If you see people, try to tune into the joy that if they seem happy in some way, you know, tune into that, whether they're alone or with someone else, right? And you can use a phrase, you know, if you like, that can help to kind of keep the attention collected. Or if that doesn't work for you, you can stay connected to the body, but keep the attention grounded in the heart, right? So this practice sort of listening from the heart, paying attention to the heart, particularly to that the tune of joy, right? So in some ways, it's like, you know, we're tuning in to this particular sound, you know, tuning fork of joy, right, in the heart. So as you walk around, tune into that in others, in yourself, right, something like that. But if you'd like to do it in the more sort of concentrated way, you can do with a walking path and with having an image of someone who is happy and wishing them well in the same way that we did with the metta, with the compassion. So you could choose which one you want to try. So let's do that for half an hour also. So say let's come back at 3, and then we'll do a different exercise with this as well. Yeah. Okay, thank you.